Bibles, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. What a wonderful song. Brother Charlie Weigel wrote that song. He was in the worked in the world for a while. God called him to preach. He was a preacher for many, many years. Came home one day and there was a note on the kitchen table that said, "Charlie, I'm tired of being a preacher's wife," and he never saw her again. She left him. He spent many years as a divorced man in the ministry, but he wrote that song right after that took place, after his wife left him, said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." What an amazing song. 1 Kings chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, 'I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man.'" Boy, we need that in America today. "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, 'If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee,' said he, 'a man on the throne of Israel.'" And let's pray. Father, take the next 30 or so minutes, and I pray that you'd bless them, use them. Lord, help us to be encouraged, and Lord, would you change our lives because of it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in 1 Kings chapter 2, David is in the last moments of life, literally. He is on his deathbed, and his son, Adonijah, is seeing the days come where David will not be there, and Adonijah is gathering around him the ability to take the kingdom over. Adonijah was one of David's oldest children, and he felt like he deserved to be the king, and he begins preparation to announce himself as king. There's only one problem. He wasn't supposed to be the next king. You have to understand, he was giving here Solomon final instructions. When Solomon was born, Bathsheba came to David and said, "Would you promise me that Solomon would take your place someday?" And he promised that Solomon would one day take the throne. Now, the man after God's own heart, David, 40 years on the throne, what will he say? What would his last words to his predecessor, or not predecessor, but as the one that would take over for him, wrong direction, sorry, what would his last words be? You see, you have to understand, God promised David that his seed would be the lineage, the royal lineage of Jesus. You have to understand, in about 800 or so years, Jesus would be born from one of those kings. And his ability to become the king of Israel would be because of King David. By the way, this is the same King David that Jesus will come back at the millennium, and Jesus himself will rule and reign from the throne of David. He will sit on the same actual throne as David sat, in the same place David sat. The millennial rule will be from the throne of David. God had a lot of confidence in David. God had a lot of love for David. Well, what will David say to Solomon? What will his final words be? God places them here in Scripture for a reason. Well, first of all, and I'm not going to read the whole passage here. He said, if we would have kept reading, you'll find out he said, "Solomon, first of all, I want you to take care of Joab for me." He said, "You use your wisdom and take care of Joab when the time is right." Joab is an evil man, Joab is a murderer, and Joab is disloyal. I promised I would not kill him, but when I die, that promise ends. He said, use your wisdom and get rid of Joab. Don't trust him. Then he also tells him to be kind to a man named Barzillai. Barzillai was a man who helped David through the debacle of Absalom, his son. Barzillai is the one that ended up killing the one that killed Absalom. Barzillai, he said, be gentle with him. He's a bit rough around the edges, but take care of him. He said, I want you to do that. Brother Mike, I love the next statement out of David's. he says, then, there's a man named Shimei. He said, don't let Shimei die peacefully. I love that statement. Say, who's Shimei? Shimei is the one that when Absalom was in rebellion, there was civil war between the house of David and the house of Absalom. Shimei came and kicked dirt all over the king, spit on him, and called him all kinds of nasty names. And that's where one of David's servants said, let me strike him once and I'll take care of him. Just let me kill him. He said, no. He said, it's good for me to receive the criticism. He said, I'll let him wag his tongue. It'll be okay. God will take care of it later. But David was just helping God out when he was dying and said, don't let him die peacefully.
Amen.
He embarrassed our family enough, and he embarrassed himself. He said, don't let him die peacefully. Now, he said, his evil has to stop. See, he wasn't mad at Shimei. He was mad at evil. Now, the part that I can hardly wait to get to. The Bible says that David said to Solomon, I want you to look at verse number 3 here. If you mark in your Bible, this would be a good statement for you to mark. It says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. You see, David told Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord thy God. He said, if you do, everything that you do, God will cause to prosper in your life. He said, if you'll do what I'm about to tell you, everything you do will prosper. Now, I don't know about you. I'd like to be a prosperous person. I'd like to prosper for God. I would like God to bless what we do. You see, David wanted Solomon to enjoy the success that he himself had, and even exceed the success that he had. Can I tell you something? I hope someday my children pass me up successfully wise. I've been in the ministry 27, almost 28 years. Hope my son Josh surpasses what my wife and I have done. I have no greater joy than to think they would do that. Yes, I've got no greater joy than to think that my son Jeff as a layman could do as much or more than I have. None whatsoever. I hope my daughter and her future husband, whoever it may be, would outdo my wife and I in the ministry. I'm not in competition with them. I'm not trying to outproduce my children. Now, I did have more in church than any of them. We had more visitors in church than they had, and I'm happy about that.
Yes.
But may I say this? I hope they outdo me someday. I really do. You see, David wanted Solomon to enjoy as much success as possible and told him exactly how to get it. David didn't tell him how to run the kingdom. Notice he wasn't giving instructions on how to run the kingdom. He wasn't telling him how to run the finances of the kingdom or how to raise taxes or how to bring income in. He said, get the blessing of God on your life. Keep the charge of God. Now, David was in no way perfect, but David enjoyed the blessing of God on his life.
Amen.
David was far from perfect. Matter of fact, David made many mistakes. Solomon was actually the firstborn child of Bathsheba after the adulterous relationship that David had with Bathsheba, and the baby died and God killed David killed Bathsheba's first husband. You realize who Solomon was?
Solomon was the next son born to David and Bathsheba. Not David and Abigail, not David and Abishai,
not David and one of his other wives, David and Bathsheba. Now, that one's now going to sit on the throne of Israel. Can I tell you something? Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter what your background is. God can use you and God will bless you.
Amen.
David knew how to get the blessing of God on his life. Now, notice the words here. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. God just told Solomon, and God told Solomon through David how to get God's blessing on his life. Now, listen to me very carefully. Do you want the blessing of God on your life? Do you want God to bless what you do with your life? Do you want God to bless the leadership in your life? You want God to bless you as a leader? Then keep the charge of God. God doesn't change. Did you know the same principle that God gave Solomon will work for us today? Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. If it was good for Solomon, it's good for us. The same principles will work for us today. By the way, Solomon did become the most prosperous king in the history of Israel. Solomon became the most well-known. He became the wisest of all the kings, and he was not mistake or error-free either. Bless his heart, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I see a lack of wisdom.
Amen.
700 mother-in-laws. God bless him. To me, that's foolish. One's enough, amen? Why in the world any man would want 1,000 wives? Forget that mess. You talk about not being able to find a bathroom. And if you did, the pantyhose would be hanging everywhere. Now, God did truly bless. Some of y'all are. That was worth it just to watch some of you all turn colors. Amen. Aren't you embarrassed? Not at all. God did truly bless Solomon. But I think that if we would learn to follow the same principles. And by the way, don't let some of these theologians tell you, well, God really didn't want Solomon to be wealthy. God promised Solomon to be wealthy. I heard some idiot say, well, God didn't intend any leader of God to be wealthy. I don't know what version he's reading, but it's not the King James. I find nowhere where that's true. Matter of fact, I'll show you just the opposite in later here. By the way, wealthy doesn't mean financially wealthy only. Now, keep the charge. Keep the charge. Number one, what is a charge? It's not your credit card. Some of you ladies got that one down pat. Some of you men have it down pat better than some women do. God chooses his words carefully in the Bible. Charge is not a credit card. It's not an electrical impulse like when I shocked myself on the microphone. A charge is an example. It means literally like guarding a prisoner in a prison. There is a charge to that guard to not let anything take place that is wrong. It means strict observance, a duty, like a military duty. You're put in charge of doing something or putting a hedge of protection around something. So the word charge has to do with guarding or protecting certain things and following it to the strictest of orders. Can I tell you something? God gave us a charge. It's called the words of God.
Amen.
There it is. The charge. I was reading recently, and that verse just jumped out at me, and I did a little research. Take your Bible. We're going to look at four passages really, really, really quick. If you can't turn in your Bibles quickly, don't worry about it. Genesis chapter 26. I just want to read these to you. I want to show you some things and give you a couple principles by which to follow, and then we're going to go home. Amen. Genesis 26, verse number 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Notice that Abraham kept the charge of God. All right? Take your Bible, turn to Leviticus, just a few books over. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8. This is in reference to while the Jews were in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. But Leviticus chapter 8, look at verse number 35. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that ye die not, for so I am commanded. Wow. God said, if you don't do this, you're going to die. So keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. That's right, two books over, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I had a kid, not one of my own children, but I heard a young person one day called it Rudodonomy. Took me longer to how not to say it than how to say it right. Deuteronomy chapter 11, look at verse number 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Now, take your Bible one more place, Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22, very towards the end of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 22, I want you to look at verse number 3. I'm going to just show you that God used this term quite a bit in Scripture to different people. Joshua chapter 22, verse number 3. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. Wow. So, once in reference to Abraham, once in reference to while they were in the wilderness, another time that they were at the tabernacle keeping the charge, and then here, Joshua keeping the charge as they're conquering the land of Canaan. Now, God has a charge that he once kept, and David was reminding Solomon, keep the charge. Can I tell you something? There's a very important thing. We're supposed to keep the charge, not change the charge. Yes, sir. Watching churches change the charge, not keep the charge. Well, we can let the modern things in. It's okay. Keep the charge. Keep the charge. Amen. We're old-fashioned. Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Can I tell you something? I plan on keeping the charge, not changing the charge. We're not supposed to build a church that appeals to man. We're supposed to build a church that appeals to God. That's why we're a hospital, not a museum. We're here to take care of people and help build them up, not entertain them while they're here. Everybody doing all right? And I love our teenagers, but our teenagers are going to sit in church. We're not going to have teen church. We're not going to split the kids off on Wednesday night and have all these clubs while the adults get taught the Word of God. Everybody's going to get taught the Word of God. Yes, you know, kids need preached that as much as adults need preached that. Yes. Teenagers need preached that probably more than anybody. No, as much as anybody does. I don't think there ought to be a difference. We got all these cute little clubs and everything else that we do, and the teenagers go off and do their thing, and the kids go off and do their thing, and those all have to be led by adults in the church that don't get Bible teaching then. Well, we got to break it down to their level. If the man of God can't preach to where everybody understands it, get an honest job.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That was just my opinion. So, you know, keep the charge. Next, what is the charge of God? Go back to 1 Kings chapter 2. And if you noted some of those verses, you're going to see some of the same words being used over and over and over again. I want to show you something. Those of you that were here in one of my Wednesday night Bible studies, this is going to be a quick review, and you'll see what I'm talking about here in just a moment. Look at verse number 3 again. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God. What is that? To walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Wow. Remember back, oh my soul, probably a couple years ago, I had a Bible study on Psalm 119. We went through every section of Psalm 119, one section a night, per Wednesday night. I think there's 22 sections, and we taught for 23 weeks on Psalm 119. Psalm 119, every verse in it but one or two refers to the Word of God. And we said there were seven words that refer to the Word of God. Anybody want to remember what five of those words are, or six of those words? Ways, statutes, commandments, judgments, testimonies, and law. David, God was telling
Solomon through David, I want you to keep the charge, and the charge are my words. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to keep the charge, not change the charge. Yes. We're not supposed to change what the Bible says. We're supposed to do what the Bible says. We're supposed to guard what the Bible says.
God would not expect us to keep the charge and not tell us what it is. Did you know you never have to wonder if it's in the Bible whether you should obey it or not? You never have to wonder. We get into all this spooky Christianity. Oh, I feel the Spirit moving me. Those kind of people scare the snot out of me. Because next they're going to pick up a snake. Yeah, well, I feel. Yeah, I've had a lot of feelings that weren't the right thing.
Yes, sir.
God didn't promise you a feeling. He gave you a command. Keep the command. Forget the feeling.
Yes,
you see, God gives us six words in reference to his charge. All of them are found, by the way, if you went back to Genesis chapter 26, you go back to Leviticus chapter, 8, Deuteronomy chapter 11, and Joshua chapter 22, virtually every one of these words is mentioned there. Commandments, law, testimonies, statutes, and he uses those over and over, his ways. Now, I'm going to review these in about 5 minutes, and then I'm going to give you one big punch at the end, and we'll be on our way. All right. Now, the word ways, God says, walk in his ways. Notice it says there in verse 3, to walk in his ways. Whose ways? God's ways. The word ways means pathways or course of life or methods. Can I tell you something? Some lame brain liberal got up about 25, 30 years ago and said, well, the Bible's good for doctrine, but it's not good for methods. He's got holes in his head big enough to drive Mack trucks through.
Yes.
Amen.
Did you know that God said we're supposed to go house to house, door to door, knocking on door, telling people about Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's how you get people saved.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you what kind of missionaries we're going to support? Missionaries that go out and preach the gospel to every creature?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't say that just because you give somebody some medical supplies that you're a missionary. You can heal somebody up, but if you don't give them the gospel, what good was healing them up? They'll die and go to hell healthy.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, we believe in feeding the poor and the hungry on the mission field. I believe in feeding the poor and the hungry too. But if all you do is put food in their belly, they're going to die and go to hell with a full stomach.
Yes, right. Sir. Right.
We're supposed to do that to give them
Amen.
The gospel.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? The purpose of it is to see people get saved. God says we're supposed to see people get saved. God doesn't want us doing it our way. He wants us doing it his way. We're not supposed to go out and take a poll and figure out who wants what in the church like Bill Hybels did up in the northwest Chicago area and build a church based on what everybody in the neighborhood wanted. Well, you could attract more people if you went to more modern of a music. I'm not here to attract more people with music. I'm here to preach the gospel and get everybody saved that we can get saved. You see, we're supposed to walk in his way. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not our church, it's his church. His ways. Number two, his statutes. Man, y'all get me off on a tangent. All right? Get preach going in me. Keep his statutes. The word statutes are written ordinances. Can I tell you where the written ordinances of God are? Right there. That's why these Bible rewriters want to change what God said. You don't need to change it. You just need to obey it.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it funny? They say, well, we need a Bible that's easier to understand. And they want to call me shallow.
That's right. Amen.
They call me shallow, but they got to have a Bible that's easier to understand. I have no problem understanding the Word of God. Can I tell you why they don't understand it? Get ready. Because they don't have the Spirit of God working inside of them. They're probably lost.
That's right.
The written laws of God are His statutes. Next, keep His commandments. These are orders from leaders. Well, we're getting our orders from headquarters called heaven. And He works through the man of God. As long as the man of God is speaking the word of God, you're safe.
Yes.
I will not tell you what to do because it's what I think we should do. We'll do what God said do. Now, it didn't say we're supposed to use this bank to get this loan in the scriptures. But I do believe that if we're doing what we're supposed to do, God's going to take care of the bank loan. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Well, how do we know we're getting the exact will of God on the loan? Because we're going to get the money to build the building.
Amen.
Well, have you prayed over which bank? Yeah, I told God the first one that gives us what we need, we're going for it. I'm not piddling around. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I told you before we started this thing, we're not building the church. We're going to pay somebody to build it. We're going to stay out knocking on doors, getting people saved, having new families join the church and come to the church and get saved and get their life changed. We'll let somebody else build the building. I want to be able to yell at the contractor and tell him that's wrong, pull it out and start over and not lose his tithe. I've watched too many churches go into building programs. Their church splits 2 and 3 times. It never gets built. Takes them 10 years to do it if they ever get it done. And it costs them 10 times as much by the time they're done. We're going to save money doing it this way. I promise you, and a whole lot of time. And I can get mad if the stud's in the wrong spot or the door's in the wrong spot. And I can yell at the contractor and say, put it where I told you to put it. That's not where it's supposed to go. And I don't have to worry about losing somebody's tithe. Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're going to be busy building the church the way God wants and let somebody else worry about building the structure. I don't care about the structure as much as I do the people inside. Our goal is to fill it up as it gets here.
Amen.
We'll get into that in a little while. That means this, His commandments, orders from a leader. Can I tell you something? If you go seek counsel, wise counsel, follow it. It's the best thing for you. Next, keep His judgments. The word judgment means a sentence after all the evidence is presented. Can I tell you something? Be just with people. Some of you are guilty of following what the news media does. You have people convicted of felons and crimes before you ever know what the facts are. Isn't it amazing how everybody thinks President Trump was in cahoots with the Russians to collaborate against the election? Did you ever notice what came out from all of that? First of all, Hillary never said was a lie. She was guilty of everything that did come out.
Yes, sir.
Number two, it had nothing to do with the election. There's only two ways to skew an election. That's in people's voting or in how the votes were cast and counted. Guess what? None of that's been found to be in cahoots. By the way, there's more on the wiretapping than there is the Russians. And it was the former president that did the wiretapping.
Right.
Did you notice when President Trump fired back, the thing about Russia all died down real fast? Because now there's going to be an investigation to find out who is lying, him or everybody else, and it's everybody else.
Yep.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. But it's amazing how many people believe the first report. Just because we reported it first, we have the scoop. You don't have the information.
Amen. That's right.
A judgment is something that comes after all of the evidence is presented. Boy, that's a good statement. His testimonies. These are sworn statements in court. Can I tell you something? The testimonies of God are sure.
Amen.
Sworn in court. You say, who's the judge? God the Father.
Amen.
Matter of fact, He's the one that gave the sentence and the ruling and the words. Learn to be truthful with yourself and others. Next, keeping the law. law are rules by which everybody should live. Did you know I'm not above the same rules that you are?
Do you know I'm supposed to read my Bible because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a preacher?
Yes, sir.
You know I'm supposed to tell others about Jesus because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a preacher?
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm supposed to do what the Bible says because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a preacher.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
By the way, our politicians are supposed to obey the laws too, not rewrite them.
Amen.
Preaching. Hillary's not above the law. Amen. Obama's not above the law. Amen. The press is not above the law. They need their feet held to the fire to the law.
Yes. Preaching.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Next. I got about 6 minutes. Here we go. Keeping God's charge. So, first of all, what is a charge? Second of all, what is the charge of God? And lastly, keeping the charge of God brings success and prosperity. Look at verse number 3 again. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, A, to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper, watch this, in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Success and prosperity does not mean problemless. Can I tell you something?
Successful people have problems too. Prosperous people have problems too. Just because God promises prosperity and success, he does not promise no problems. You think having more money means no problems. Talk to somebody who has a lot of money. They have more problems than somebody who has less money.
Can I tell you something? During the Depression, FDR raised the tax rate on anybody that made $1 million or more to 90%. If you made $1 million, 900,000 of it went back to the government. You lived on 100,000. And you wonder why we have rich people trying to hide their money. Well, they make more, they ought to give more. Says who? I believe in a flat tax for everybody.
Amen.
I think we ought to give God 10%, give the government 10%, and we live on 80%.
Amen.
Get rid of gas tax, get rid of state tax, period. By the way, that's good if you make $100 a year, if you make $100 million a year.
Yes, sir.
If everybody paid the same percentage, that's fair.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
We get rid of filing IRS taxes, everything else. Get rid of the IRS for good. Burn them and blow them up, amen? Get rid of it. Yeah, let Trump put a shovel in their hand and let them start building a wall, amen?
Amen.
Lord have mercy. The more success and the more prosperity you have, probably the more problems you're going to have. Can I tell you something? The bigger this church gets, the more problems we're going to have.
Yes,
sir. Mm-hmm. Some of you older people, you're going to like the success of a bigger church, but you're not going to like the fact that you're going to have a bunch of kids running around maybe knocking you over every once in a while. Success has its penalties. Some of you are going to go into a bathroom one of these days and there's going to be something written on a bathroom wall.
Yep.
Can I tell you something? That comes with success.
Yep.
Say, what are you going to do, preacher? We'll either scrub it off or paint it off.
Amen.
I've seen things written in church bathrooms that shouldn't be written in truck stops. Say, what's that from? People getting saved and people getting baptized and their lives getting changed.
Amen.
We're not going to be problem free, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? By the way, my Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, this book of the law, notice that word again, shall not depart out of the mouth. It says, if you do, that in the day thou doest, it shall prosper, and that then thou shalt prosper and then have good success. Psalm 1, verse number 3, talks about the obeying the words of the law. That be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever thou doest, thou shalt prosper. Can I tell you something? Prosperity comes with a price, and that's going to be more problems. Just because you prosper does not mean you don't have any problems. You might not have the problems you have without the prosperity, but prosperity brings a whole breed of new problems.
Yes,
my son Josh today. Bless his pea-picking little heart. He pastored a church for about 7-8 months while he was in Bible college. Now he's an assistant pastor down in Miami. He said, Dad, he said, do you know how fun it is to say, preacher, and it's not you? I said, son, I did it for 22 plus years. I know how good that word is. He said, man, everybody else can worry. He said, I don't have to worry about what the preacher has to worry about. I said, no, but you better work hard so that he doesn't have to worry. I said, you know how he feels. He said, oh, man. He said, got a guy down here. He's itching to go pastor. And I keep telling him, you don't know what you want. It's not like you think it is. It's not what you think it is. He said, it's a whole lot easier in some ways to be an assistant. I said, yeah, but you got to learn to keep your mouth shut, too, at times. He said, well, yeah, but that's a whole lot easier than raising budgets and paying people. I said, yeah. I said, with success comes more problems. Can I tell you something? True success and true prosperity is found in the Bible, not bank accounts and not positions. Prosperity isn't always a bank account. I have a very rich life. I don't have much in my bank account, just so you know. Over a year ago, I cut my salary $15,000 or more, and my wife and I talked about it, and we couldn't give a lot to the building program, but I could cut some of the outgo by cutting my salary. Some of you all weren't happy. Don't give a flip. Dealing with banks, they said, we noticed that. I said, yeah, I cut my salary. I said, I know where you're headed. Well, when are you going to reinstate it? I said, when we're in the new building, making our payments on time or ahead of time, and everything's going fine. I said, I'm not worried about it. Well, how much are you going to raise it? I said, I'm not worried about raising it. I need the building. Then we'll talk about what comes later. I said, by the way, my salary has nothing to do with you. I said, just knock it off. I said, we're fine. Well, as soon as you get your loan, are you going to reinstate it? I said, did you hear what I said? When we're making the payments on time and there's enough there, then we'll discuss it. I said, that doesn't even mean then we're going to do it. I said, you don't have to worry. I'm not bucking for a pay raise. I said, I'm in this for the long haul. I fought all of hell to get this thing started. I'm not about to go bankrupt over my stupid salary. I'll go work a full-time job and give my whole stupid salary. I said, this church is going to go because it's God's church, not because it's my church.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? God wants people to prosper. Take your Bible, and I'm turning to this last verse here, Psalm 35. Some of you that think God hates you and doesn't want you to do anything, wants you to grovel the rest of your life, you ought to mark this verse, memorize it, quote it, and do something about it. Psalm 35, verse number 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified with which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his. That's not lost people.
My Bible says God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Do you know that God wants you more prosperous than you do?
Yes, sir.
But you're going to have to obey him to get it. God doesn't pleasure in your suffering. God pleasures in your prosperity. He may allow suffering to allow you to succeed more. You're going to hear the liberals, well, Donald Trump went bankrupt 2 different times, or however many times it was. Do you know that most people that are successful financially bankrupt at least once in life?
Lesson learned.
I didn't say it was mistake-free. I didn't say every part of life was successful either. God didn't promise every part of it being successful, but the general tenor of everything, he wants you to succeed and prosper. God wants Christian people successful. Doesn't mean you're going to have millions of dollars in your bank account either. You don't have to have a certain bank account to be prosperous. I'm a very wealthy man. I don't have much money. But my folks are in church tonight. My wife and I are still married after almost 28 years. I have one married child. They're in church serving God full time. I have 2 single children that are adults. One that's a good solid layman working on a bus route.
texted me before church started this morning, before Sunday school started. Dad, we had 22 on the bus with two visitors. Had my daughter, she worked on a bus route today. 22 people on the bus with one visitor. Can I tell you something? I'm a pretty rich man.
Yes.
I got a church. We had five visitors, two people saved, one got assurance of salvation this morning. That's pretty rich.
Yes, sir.
I know an awful lot of churches wish they had that once in life. We have that just about every week.
Yes. Amen.
Can I tell you something? What are you judging prosperity by? You see, God wants to prosper you. Sometimes it takes jumping out in faith. You ought to stick your neck out online and say, we're going to go build a building. We didn't even have a piece of property. Then we bought a piece of property. I had every bank and financial institution in the world tell me, don't buy that piece of property until you got a bank loan to put the building on it. I said, I got to have property before I can get a bank loan. We bought the property. I'm not letting it fall through. Then every bank says, how in the world did you get the property for that cheap? That property's worth more than that. How come you didn't pay more for that? Because I didn't need to. God put it in my lap. We paid for it. Can I tell you something? It takes a little bit of faith to jump out $600,000 or $700,000. It's not the most comfortable position to be in, but I know we're doing what God wants. Time to rise up and build. Let's go build.
Amen.
Say, preacher, how are we going to do it? By faith. I don't know how we're going to get down payment, but God did. God's doing it. Praise the Lord. God wants you to prosper more than you want it, but you're going to have to do it His way, not your way. And you're going to have to count His prosperity, not your prosperity. Can I tell you something? Keep the charge. Keep the charge. There's the charge. As long as you obey that, you're keeping the charge. Solomon, as long as you obey, you're successful. If you went to the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll see a name. The preacher. The preacher, capital P. It's about Solomon. God called Solomon the preacher. The only man in the Bible God called the preacher. That was his pet name for Solomon, the preacher. Oh, you see the 700 wives and the 300 concubines. God saw him as the preacher. God saw him as the man that kept the charge. Did he make mistakes? Yes. But keep the charge. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's decide we're going to keep the charge of God in our life. Let's decide we're going to obey the Bible. Let's decide whether we're young or old, whether we're a child, a teen, or an adult, or senior citizen, we're going to keep the charge of God. We're going to obey the charge of God.